morning, sleepyheads, and welcome to another episode of the Sleepless Nights podcast. Kat and I had such a great conversation that I asked her to stick around to discuss another one of my favorite things, WWE. Listen in on our conversation about the happenings in WWE and discuss our shared love of sports entertainment. We'll also speculate wildly about its future. Check it out now.
Speaking of self-care and using WWE as a way to, you know, decompress, unwind, and, you know, be free. And yeah. I love that because I did not realize until this year that you were a fan. And I want to talk about that. Last season, I talked to Those Wrestling Girls, which I don't know if you're familiar with PR and Krista B. And it was a great conversation. It was right after WrestleMania 39 out in Hollywood. So we talked about, you know, their experience out there. And so I found out that you went to WrestleMania 40 this year.
I did. My very first WrestleMania, and it was an adventure.
Okay, so let's go back. WrestleMania 40, at the time of this recording, everyone, it's May, so we're about 2 months after WrestleMania 40. So tell me how you and your husband made the decision to go to WrestleMania 40.
Well, I mean, it was actually kind of an easy decision because we found out that WrestleMania was going to be in Philly and, you know, we live in Baltimore. So that was just a drive away. So that kind of made the decision easier because who knows when they're going to be back over here on our side of the country to do a big PLE like that.
We know it's not going to be next year.
Definitely not next year. Probably not the year after that. Who knows? They might be, you know, in Scotland somewhere now, the way things are going, the way that they're growing. So who knows? So we had to take the opportunity when it came up.
Same. We saw that. So I had watched it as a kid. My brother and I watched it till like I got to high school and then I was too cool for wrestling and then took a lot of time off. And then I met my husband and then he took me to my first Monday Night Raw in 2014. And that was back right before the Shield broke up. So I became a citizen of the Roman Empire. And I was like, oh, I'm never leaving. Obvious. Do you see him? Do you see what he looks like? Why would anybody leave this? And the same, you know, we saw, okay, well, WrestleMania 40 is going to be in Philly. We live in Maryland, just under 2 hours. We can get there. We don't have to buy flights and stuff like that. This WrestleMania, I'm glad we went because I would have been mad if it was in Philly and I was watching it at home.
Absolutely. I would have been so upset.
I would have been so angry. Everything about that mania, I was hooked. I loved it. Did you see NXT yesterday? Yesterday? Today's Thursday.
Tuesday. So, Sexy Red. Oh my goodness. I had no idea what to expect. My husband sent me a screenshot of like an advertisement saying that she was going to be on NXT. And I really thought it was made up. I thought he was lying. Until I went and looked it up myself and I'm like, wow, you are serious here. But not going to lie, I was kind of interested. Like when she popped up, I feel like her chemistry with Trick Williams and what's his name?
The bouncy one. Javon Evans. Javon. I'm not sure that's his last name, but yes, Javon,
the bouncy one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So their chemistry was pretty good. Her walking them out and everything. Her, you know, her on the mic was pretty good. So, and she's going to be hosting Battlegrounds. So I'm very interested to see how that's going to go because I mean, I wasn't expecting for her to come in and almost kind of fit a little bit.
Yeah, I was
very surprised.
Well, I mean, there have been a couple of celebrity guests that have come in and kind of really surprised me.
Yeah,
I was intrigued by the set. I didn't see it because we don't watch a lot of NXT, which is really unfortunate because they are doing some great work down there.
Look, NXT, if you ever get a chance to see them like in their PLEs, they put on a show. Because my first one that I saw in person was WrestleMania weekend when they had Stand and Deliver.
You went to Stand and Deliver, okay.
Yeah.
I heard they tore the house down.
Absolutely. And I will, if the opportunity comes again and they're in the area, I will absolutely go. No hesitation.
They are doing, there are some really talented people down there. Lash, Jakara, Jada Parker. I mean, Lola Vice. There are some people down there that are tearing it down. And the celebrities that they're bringing in, you know, I was intrigued by the sexy red thing too. But then this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in our conversation about mental health, is that people are people. And we forget that these celebrities are fans of other celebrities and they are fans of wrestling, you know, because Cardi's a fan. And so I was like, okay, I want to see, what exactly is she going to do? And she unveiled that Women's North American title, which I'm very excited to see. And then, you know, Bad Bunny has set the standard for celebrity wrestling for me. I know people talk about Logan Paul all the time, but Bad Bunny is the standard for me.
Look, when I, because I didn't, I had no expectations when Bad Bunny came out on the show the first time, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, this is just a celebrity guest, he's not really going to do a whole lot. No, that man clearly trained for that moment. Like, he had been waiting all of his life to be a WWE superstar. Like, he put on a show, he did not disappoint at all.
And that match that he and Damian Priest had in Puerto Rico at Backlash last year, ayo Damian,
perfection.
It was so good. It was so, and you know what I'm excited to see is the Forbidden Door is essentially open now because Jordynne Grace is fighting Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship at APLE. Next week.
In Vegas.
I mean, what do you think? And we can speculate all we want. By the time this recording comes out, it'll have been some time, will have passed, and we'll see how right we are. But what do you think this opening of the quote-unquote Forbidden Door means? Because I think it's a big deal to have Jordynne Grace. She was in the Rumble.
The Royal Rumble.
And was in there for a while.
Yeah.
She didn't just show up and leave. Like, she was, she had some eliminations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What do you think is, speculate wildly for me about what you think is possible?
I just think it just makes the whole thing more entertaining because now there's this element of surprise that wasn't there before. And it also brings a lot of attention to these wrestlers that might be from like the indies or just other promotions that are trying to, you know, just get to a different level. And WWE is like the biggest promotion right now. So, and they will probably continue to be. So I think it's great that they have kind of opened the door to give notice to these other promotions to really allow people to put their eyes on it too. So just kind of reaching back and like just helping other people with them becoming superstars, also making these promotions bigger and just giving more opportunities to people who may never have had an opportunity to have that many eyes on them ever before. So I am very excited to see how this match goes. Like, I mean, if Jordynne were to win and she became a double champion on two different promotions, like, that would be insane. And I don't even know how that would look, but it would make me want to watch TNA more. Like, I mean, for sure. Because, I mean, I'm already invested in NXT, so if I were to see her do that, I mean, I'm already kind of interested. Like, I maybe loosely look at TNA, not, you know, not a whole lot, but if she were to become a double champion, I'm absolutely going to be watching.
So I need to know who's going to show up, who from WWE is going over there to get the championship back.
Right. I have to know now because I'm invested in the story. So
I need to know. I feel like it's not a bad, it's not a bad idea to have her win the NXT Women's Championship and take that back to TNA, because then somebody from here got to go there. And get it back. And I feel like it should be Naomi. Because if I'm remembering correctly, Jordynne Grace defeated Naomi for the TNA championship. And then she came back at Royal Rumble. She came back to WWE at Royal Rumble. So that's a little bit of vengeance if she goes down there, if she goes to TNA and gets it back, gets the NXT championship back. Because then she, Bianca, and Jade all have gold.
Right.
And that's what I really want.
And you know, and I would love that for them. And that also, that's great storytelling too. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, that might be a good prediction. I might have to roll with that one and claim it as my own.
I'm all, listen, you cannot steal what is a gift. I'm giving it to you freely. I feel like that's the direction that you want to go in. You Absolutely. Want to, because I what I don't want to happen is I don't want Naomi to have come back and then they're still not utilizing her properly.
Right. Because, I mean, in real life, Naomi is a legend. Like, Absolutely. She has broken down so many barriers. She has accomplished so many things while in WWE. And I think it was necessary for her to leave and then come back. But mm-hmm. like you said, they need to be utilizing her much better and much more effectively than they were before, because I almost feel like they were kind of just throwing her scraps at some point. And I also love that now that she's back, she has this bond and alliance with Jade and Bianca, because I feel like, especially with Bianca being as big of a superstar as she is, I feel like it is helping to elevate Jade and also really giving notice to Naomi in a way that she wasn't getting noticed before.
Absolutely.
So, because we know that Naomi had been there for as long as she was there for decades and not getting the recognition that she deserved while also making history at the same time, which Absolutely. Is weird. But I think now that she's like partnered with these two powerhouses, it just gives her so much more visibility. And I love that for Naomi, because I like her. So
I like her a lot. Yeah.
I really want to see her continue to like just get bigger and just flourish and really get the flowers that she deserves.
Absolutely. I want them to really utilize the big three. I mean, don't tease this big three thing if you're not really going to do something with it. Because Right. what I don't want them to do is I don't want them to. There's two things that I want. I want them to really let Jade and Bianca run roughshod through the entire tag division.
I want them to bulldoze everybody.
Everybody.
They got to bring respect back to that title. Because yes. before now, it was like, it was a throwaway almost. Right. Like, I feel like people kept getting injured. So, mm-hmm. like, when Rhea and Liv had it, and then I think
Raquel Sonya had it. And
Sonya had, yeah. And everybody was getting injured. Almost like it was like a curse on the thing yeah. or something. And then it when Piper and
Chelsea
had it, it was almost like a,
it didn't really mean anything. And that's sad, because I like Chelsea and Piper a lot. I think this is what part of the problem is that there's not enough investment in the writing to really develop that division or to yeah. develop those titles. And we worked hard to have those. There was a huge yeah. campaign to get women's tag titles.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be showcased. They have enough programming time that we don't need squash matches.
Right. I 100% agree with that. Like, that's not what I came to see. Like, I really need to see these titles be defended in a way that like really displays the respect that they should have mm-hmm. and puts the respect behind the women that are holding them. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a good move for WWE to put those titles on Jade and Bianca, because I mean, Bianca already, you know, being the huge superstar that she is, she carries a lot of, you know, prestige with her by herself. Mm-hmm. And adding Jade to that, which was, you know, we waited for Jade to come in and actually see what she was going to do for so long. So to pair them together, which I think was also a great idea instead Perfect. Of having them together, because I did not want to see that.
Yes.
Having both of them have the titles together, I think it really has already elevated the titles. But I think, like you said, if they were to just kind of bulldoze through and really put some power behind that the title and hold it for a while, I think that would bring the prestige and respect back to the title that it really does deserve, that they worked so hard to get in the first place.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic to see how it develops.
Yeah,
I really am a strong supporter that we do need more women's titles in general.
We need a mid-card. Like, I'm so happy that NXT is getting this North American Championship added to the roster, because it's so many women now. And it's not enough titles. So instead of having just, you know, on the main rosters on Raw and SmackDown, only having these two big titles and then the tag title that goes through all three of these brands, instead of just having that, like, give them a mid-card. It's so many women on the roster that are really talented, that deserve the more visibility than they're getting. Yeah, that can really elevate them. And I think just elevate the brands in general. So I think the storytelling needs to be there, and that there's actually, like, a demand for these mid-card titles. So
listen, I post about it once a week.
Look, I'll be all on Twitter. Or, you know, X, formerly known as Twitter or whatever, saying, like, when are we going to get these big cards?
When are we going to get more women's titles? I mean, because I think what Gunther did for the IC title, another woman can do for, and it was mutually beneficial, because look where the Ring General is now.
Right, the King General now.
The King General, okay? And he is playing up his heel persona, and he is playing up his, you know, his superiority, that European excellence, and he elevated the IC title. It has prestige. It's, you know, you want to see who is holding it, and I think that the same can be done for one of the women. I think that a woman can do that. We just need the opportunity, which is why I think we need to have another Women's Evolution PLE. It went in underrated, and those women showed out.
I feel like there is so much opportunity for the women on the roster to just explode past whatever expectations people have of them, because there's so much talent, and it just needs to be utilized in the right way. I do think that if they were to dedicate a PLE to the women, allow them to really just showcase themselves and put the storytelling behind that to build up to it, I think it would blow expectations out the water completely and just put more respect behind the women's division.
It would be better than the first one.
Absolutely. I mean, they already had the framework for it. And I think now it's just so much more talent than it was before. So
absolutely,
it can only get better at this point.
I agree. Are you up to date on the Uncle Howdy saga?
So all the little things popping up on the screen, I'm so sick of it. Like, I'm sick of seeing it pop up. I looked at it once. So I actually, like, you know, paused it to scan the little barcode one time, and it was like a horse or something. It looked like a I don't know. It was weird. And I ain't really like how I felt when I was looking at it. So I haven't looked at them. I have heard the rumors that it is, you know, Uncle Howdy's supposed to be coming back, and I'm very interested for them to finally, like, let it happen. I'm tired of the stuff popping up on the screen. I just want to see it now.
Listen, by the time this comes out, we will hopefully have the debut of Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt Six. Yeah. In my house, we are up to date on all of the QR codes. It's a lot of excitement in this house about it. I think the speculations now are that the Wyatt Six, and I'm going to put this out here to see if by the time this comes out, we are correct. So the Wyatt Six is predicted to be Bo Dallas, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Eric Rowan, Joe Gacy, and Dexter Lumis.
That makes all the sense.
All of those make sense. I am most excited to see Joe Gacy, though.
I'm just now, like, getting familiar with Joe Gacy from watching NXT, and I, like, very interested, because he is, like, interesting, like, kind of creepy, but also kind of quirky, and, like, it's giving Bray Wyatt in like a different way, like, in his own way. But I love this for him, and I'm very interested to see how that develops. So if it is as you predicted, I think that would be great. And I also love what WWE is doing with these factions, because I feel like it makes a lot of sense, and it makes things way more interesting. It helps with the storytelling. I would love that faction. I would be all on board with that. So to see how that's going to disrupt things.
Oh, yeah. You use the exact right word. It is going to disrupt. And I agree. I think the factions are doing well. They just have got to, first of all, I'm exhausted now, so I need them to debut at this point.
Yes.
I just need that to happen. It could be perfect. And I love that it will honor Bray in yes. such a unique way. Because I have a special place for Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. And I was so happy when he came back.
Yes, I was so happy. Like, and it just seemed so, like, he was just so authentic and open when he came back and just, like, kind of telling the crowd where he was mm-hmm. mentally. And, like, and everybody was on board with it to see the love that he was receiving and just the excitement and the buildup to see where it was going to go. With like the whole Uncle Howdy thing and this like new persona that he was working out. Like I was very excited to see where it was going to go and very sad that, you know, he passed and we weren't able to see that.
I was very invested, but I'm happy to see that. I have yet to watch the documentary.
I haven't watched it yet either. I'm not ready to be that sad.
I'm not emotionally prepared for that. Yeah. And I'm not sure that I ever will be because I did see rumblings about it. And, you know, right after he passed, there was small snippets of people just giving him his flowers. And, you know, at the end of that whole thing, Samantha Irvine saying he's got the whole world in his hands. And I was good until she started mm-hmm. singing. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
nope. So I'm interested. I'm very intrigued. I love that, you know, they're continuing this legacy.
Yes.
The foundation that Bray built. I'm interested to see how it comes together. Speaking yes. of factions, though, are you on board with the bloodline?
Look, this new bloodline is very interesting. I have so many feelings when it comes to it. Cause it's like, one, I miss Roman. I miss him. And honestly, I really feel like he was taken for granted. I feel like people didn't understand how big of a persona he was, how much he meant to the WWE universe and how mm-hmm. much he was doing for the WWE universe until he went away.
Uh-huh.
It went from boo Roman, blah, 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 to, oh, we want Roman.
Now we want Roman.
Now you want him. Yeah, you should have wanted him to stay when he was here before. But I love that Solo has more of a role, more personality now. I love the interactions between him and Paul. Mm-hmm. And, like, this, like, tension between the two of them and, like, this little air of fear that Paul seems to have when it comes to Solo because I think at this point, he's kind of unpredictable. We don't really know what he's doing because we didn't really know who Solo was before. So now we're really getting to see him take on this role as a leader and really like start calling the shots. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Tama Tonga and his brother and like how the bloodline is going to continue to develop from there. And I'm mm-hmm. also very interested to see what's going to happen with Jimmy. Whenever he comes back, is he going to go back to the bloodline? Is he going to try to join his brother? Is he going to try to, you know, do his own thing? Like, I'm very interested to see how that's going to go.
He's in a very vulnerable place right now because he kind of is right now on his own because he's, for all intents and purposes, been exiled from the bloodline. Mm-hmm. And Jay is out doing, you know, being main event, Jay Uso taking over the Fireflies, and you know. And that was such a sweet moment.
It was, yeah.
Those French fans,
yo, they are like, so sidebar mm-hmm. related, but you know, when we were at WrestleMania and we were going to the WrestleMania event, Raw, SmackDown, and Stand and Deliver, we had French fans sitting behind us. And when I tell you the way that they showed the French fans at Backlash. That's how they were behind us. When I tell you that was the best commentary, I don't know what they were saying. I do not speak French, but that was absolutely a highlight of our WrestleMania weekend experience. I loved it. They were so into it, saying all the things that you heard at Backlash. Mm-hmm. They were singing the same thing, chanting the same things. And I'm like, dang, I really wish I knew what y'all was saying because I would join in. Like the energy was just there. Those French fans are wild. And I see why they go out the country so much now for these PLEs, because the crowd energy is just so different than it is here. It's like, here is like, it's almost like people get annoyed when you chant too much. But there, they don't care. Like, they are in, they are a part of the show.
So they're like, oh, we don't get this. So we're going to, you know, and I thought that the Puerto Rican fans last year at Backlash were like top tier. No, the French fans blew them out of the water.
Absolutely. They're definitely number one spot right now.
Yeah, they're holding that spot. I think that Berlin, bashing Berlin, I think the Berlin fans are going to give them a run for their money, though. Because I don't know the last time they did a, I don't know if they've ever done a PLE in Berlin.
I feel like they haven't. I think this might be the first time. So we're going to see what they're coming with. It's
going to be wild.
It's definitely going to be wild. I think just the European fans in general, they be on it. So
I think we're too used to having the opportunity to go to Raw and go to SmackDown and have these PLEs. And I think when you have to watch it on television and, you know, they're not doing those big events there, I think that it has a different energy. And I'm going to say this. I feel like when they do the first international WrestleMania, I think I might have to go.
Look, that is going to be insane. The prices will probably also be insane. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, that is like I feel like that would be like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Because right now, I don't have that type of money. But but if I were to come into that type of money, I would absolutely want to travel to, I mean, even if it wasn't WrestleMania, I would love the experience of a PLE overseas, like in Europe somewhere. Or, I mean, the Australian one was great also.
Yep.
Like, those fans, I feel like all the fans, all the international fans are great. So I would love to be able to have that type of experience somewhere outside of the U.S. just to be able to feel that energy and to be able to see it, because they crazy out there.
Yeah, we contemplated going to Money in the Bank in Canada, but it just does not look like it's going to be a reality. But, you know, I keep my fingers crossed for maybe something later in the year. Yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds for WWE. With Battleground taking place in Vegas at UFC, there's a lot of opportunity. It's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. I mean, even with this this TKO merger that they've had, I feel like that opens the doors to a lot of opportunities that weren't necessarily there, a lot of crossover opportunities that they might have. And I mean, I would love to see how this crossover with TNA and NXT goes, because I don't think this is going to be the last of it. No. I would love to see crossover with like New Japan Wrestling, because a lot of the people who are on the roster currently came from
New Japan. Yeah.
And I mean, even with like the crossover that we have right now with like AEW and WWE, it's not the same type of crossover, but you know, I would like to see some of that go on to maybe like some rivalry, some, you know, maybe some mixing in there too, to see how that's going to go.
I mean, I got my own feelings about how AEW operates. I mean, I don't really watch it. I've seen a couple of matches now because Mercedes is over there. And this is me speculating and not having real, like, concrete information and knowing. But I feel sometimes that AEW's leadership is, their focus is wrong. Their focus is not on developing their talent or making their brand better. Their focus is solely on beating WWE,
which we know is like, it's not within their reach, not right now, not with the moves that WWE has been making, the growth that WWE has seen even just in the last couple of years has been so massive and so quick. I don't see AEW really ever catching up. So if they let that go, then I feel like they would thrive better instead of, you know, being on this revenge tour. I mean, like, getting past WWE talent is cool, but eventually they're going to leave and they're probably going to come back to WWE. So are you really winning at this point?
Probably you not. Win for a little bit. You win for a little bit, but you know, that's why I think even with TNA, there are some former WWE wrestlers that are there. Nick Nemeth, Mustafa is there, Mickey James, like. But I do think that even if we get those crossover matches, and I think that, you know, even with Nick and Mustafa, that was the right move, because I think sometimes it's not a good fit for you right now. Mm-hmm. It's not a good fit for you right now. And you have to go someplace else.
Yeah.
Which is taking it back to Naomi. She was here. She outgrew it. It wasn't working here. She needed a change. And she went to TNA. She thrived there. And, you know, and then when the opportunity presented itself to come back, she came back, because sometimes it's not the right time or it's not the right fit, and you have to move on. But then you leave the door to come back, which I find interesting, because I heard that Mercedes made a comment in an interview about not being done in WWE, which I found really interesting.
Yep. And also Triple H made a comment in an interview saying that he would love to have her back, and he believes that she will be back one day. So I do think that eventually she's going to come back. I don't know how soon that will be. And it's not just her. A lot of superstars have left WWE, explored other promotions, gotten training in different areas, and you know, allowed themselves to kind of just figure out who they were outside of WWE for a while. And then when they came back, they just kind of exploded. Because, I mean, Cody did that. Yeah. Drew did that. So I think with everything that Mercedes has done since she's left WWE, I mean, she's done New Japan, she's done training, lucha training in Mexico. Like, she's been just like kind of everywhere, just getting more experience and just like learning who she is within the wrestling world. I think she will come back an even bigger and better version of herself, whether that's Mercedes or Sasha Banks, you know, you know, whoever she decides to be. Either way, she's going to be the boss when she comes back. So
I'm interested to see, does she come back as Mercedes or does she come back as Sasha Banks?
Yeah.
Because by the time she comes back, she'll have been Mercedes. But we know her as, I mean, I met her as Sasha Banks. Right. So, you know, however she decides to come back and present herself is how she presents herself. Before I let you go, I'm going to ask you one question about your Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling. You can keep it to exclusively present superstars. You can do exclusively past or a mixture of both. It is up to you, but you only have 4 slots.
It's probably going to be a little bit of a mixture for me. China, because when I was watching WWE as a child, Chyna was like, she was my favorite. I love seeing her come out. I love seeing her beat up on the guys. I love how strong she was, how interesting she was. That whole thing with her and Triple H, that relationship that they had going on, like the storytelling around that. I loved her character, her persona. I thought she was so cool. So Chyna, for sure. Charlotte. I mean, and it took a minute for Charlotte to kind of grow on me, but she's a legend. Like, I can't, like, there's no real disputing that. She's great at what she does in the ring. Her persona, whether she's a heel or a face-ish version of herself, because I don't know if I would ever really call her a face, but she's just so great at what she does. Bianca, I feel like she came in and she just, like, she kind of just changed how wrestling feels for Black women, I think. And of course, we know that she's like standing on the shoulders of other people who came before her, like, you know, like Naomi, like Sasha. You know, I just feel like she has brought a different version of what it means to be a WWE superstar and also care about the community that you came from.
Yeah.
And be open with that. And I love that about her. So she's definitely one of my favorites. One more spot. I feel like whenever you do the Mount Rushmore thing, I feel like the last spot is always the hardest.
It's
so many people that I could put there. I don't know. You know what? I feel like I want to say Naomi. And okay. I think I want to say her because of everything that she's accomplished, all the doors that she has opened for other people to walk through. she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves, and she is amazing in the ring. She's super entertaining. I feel like if given the story that she deserves, she's able to absolutely run with it, and she just looks like she has so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, she just loves what she does, and I really like that. That's probably my favorite thing about her, is that she just genuinely looks like she's having fun.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching wrestling, like, I mean, I'm watching it for the stories. Like, my sister calls it a soap opera. She's like, have you watched your soaps? So I watch it for the stories. I watch it for the wrestling. But I also love to see people genuinely enjoying what they do.
Yeah.
And I feel like she really has a love for it, even if her story going into it isn't the same as a lot of other people's, where they were inspired by watching wrestling to get into wrestling. She came in a different way.
Yeah.
But I feel like she really came in and made it her own. And she glows. I mean, she's great. So. That's my top.
That's why you got to feel the glow.
Yep, you got to feel the glow.
See, as you were giving that list, I had changed my mind like 5 times about who I was going to put on my Mount Rushmore. Because as I was listening to you, you know, expand upon the reasons, I was like, this changes my list from the last time I had a conversation when I was talking to those wrestling girls about my Mount Rushmore. And I think I have to put AJ Lee on that list, because she really came in. She had that passion for wrestling, and it did not matter that she was a woman, that she was smaller than everybody. Like, this is what she wanted to do from a very young age. And I think that she deserves those flowers. And I think that it is one of those things that I would love to see. I know she has a neck injury and she probably won't ever be back, but if I could just get one more match, my little heart would be so happy. I got to put Bayley on that list.
I love Bayley, yeah.
Because Bayley, heel or face, she's going to bring it.
Yep.
She's going to bring it. She's going to bring it every time. She's going to put on a good match. She's going to put over talent. She's going to, you know, be engaging. And I only by a hair like heel Bayley better than face Bayley.
Yeah.
Because she digs in and she really gets in there. And I thoroughly enjoy her work. I'm going to put Bianca on that list because she's doing amazing work. She really is doing amazing work. And she says it all the time that representation matters. And she really is standing firm on that. And yeah. I love that. And I appreciate that. And the last spot is going to go to Natty.
Mm, yeah.
Natalya deserves her flowers.
She's absolutely a legend. Yeah.
She is a graduate of the Heart Dungeon. She is a workhorse. She puts on great matches. Like, she's willing and down to do almost anything. I love watching Natalya in the ring.
Yeah, and she's another one that puts people over a lot. Mm-hmm. And I love that she is her and also Bayley. They do a lot for like the newer talent, mm-hmm. younger talent, putting them on a pedestal, really giving them that audience and, you know, putting them over to give them more recognition, put more eyes on them. I love that about them also. Because, I mean, what Bayley did with Damage Control, fantastic. That storytelling was amazing.
Chef's kiss.
And I loved it. I love her as heel Bayley, as the role model heel Bayley. I very much so enjoyed her. When she came back, I was so excited because I love Bayley. And same thing with Natalya. I mean, she's putting people over on NXT right now. Like,
absolutely.
And just like giving new talent like a platform to stand on so they can get more eyes on them. And just, you know, and I'm 100% sure that the new talent being able to work with her as seasoned as she is as a superstar and a competitor with the history that she carries with her has to have been like the most enriching and probably life-changing experience that they can possibly get. So I agree with your Mount Rushmore.
That has to be an honor. Like, that has to be an honor to work with Natalya and Bayley and Charlotte and Becky. And, you know, what I am looking forward to is when Charlotte has to come back.
Yes.
For two reasons. And those two reasons are the women's tag team champions, because Bianca has to finish the Four Horsewomen.
Yep.
And we have to get Jade versus Charlotte.
Yes. And I know, I believe Jade said in an interview that one of her dream matches is against Charlotte Flair. I would love to see that. I mean, I'm pretty sure Charlotte is coming back. I know she's, you know, rehabbing her knee. Mm-hmm. Her man is back. So, you know, she...
El Idolo.
Right, her Latino heat. So...
That's the Latino heat.
Yeah.
Get so, dirty Dom out of here.
Oh, my goodness, Dominic. But you know what? With Dominic, that is, like, the best turnaround I've seen. Like, him joining the Judgment Day was the best thing that they could possibly do for him, because I did not... like him or anything that he was doing with his dad when they were doing the whole tag mm-hmm. team thing. He was terrible. But mm-hmm. I almost feel like them putting him with the Judgment Day just kind of made him earn his spot on the main roster.
Yeah.
Because he didn't, it's not like he went to, you know, NXT
Agreed.
And did developmental like a lot of people. He kind of did his developmental on the main roster. So that turnaround, him going heel, him giving Eddie Guerrero, like...
Absolutely.
Best thing he could have possibly done. The best, most improved award.
He is a heel that you love to boo. And there is something about being in the room when he is getting booed that, like, you think it's loud on television, but to be there in person,
feel the booze like in your soul, like it rocks your core. It is so loud, and it's so amazing. Fun to be a part of.
And yes, it is amazing. It is such a good time. You're right. He is the most improved player. He has earned those boos. Yes. And he's leaning into them. And I'm interested to see what happens when Mommy comes back.
Oh, my goodness. I would be so excited to see how Rhea reacts to him. Oh, especially after Liv stole that kiss from him on Raw on Monday. I mean, I don't know. We will see.
Dirty Dom has been a bad boy. Thank you for taking this time to talk to me about everything, talk to me about mental health, talk about our shared love of wrestling. This was great. I can't say any more good. I have only good things to say about this experience. I hope you had a good time with us here.
This was a great first podcast experience. So thank you.
The Sleepless Nights podcast is brought to you by Greatest City Collective and is hosted by me, Danielle Hutchinson. It is edited and engineered by Jake Zarenko and executive produced by Davinia Shorter. Music is provided by DJ D. Hutch. Join us in 2 weeks for another episode of Sleepless Nights. Thanks for listening, and remember, stay sleepy.